You didn't have it on all the way.
Crews round up over 1,700 piglets after semi overturns. Authorities in Iowa had to round up more than 1,700 young pigs who were in a semi-trailer that overturned Thursday on a freeway just north of Des Moines. The crash happened about 1:30 p.m. when the truck overturned on a ramp to Interstate 35. Iowa State troopers had to close the ramp at times as crews worked to capture and unload hundreds of pigs. The Iowa Department of Public Safety said in a tweet, authorities working to corral and transport 1,700 piglets. It was unclear how long the delays would last.
The headlines for today, a look at Clear Lake School's $18 million bond, a breakdown of the project cost. North Iowa jazz students are finding their groove here in Mason City. A conversation with Mike Frankton. And the weather today is snow today and tonight, accumulating a storm total of 6 to 10 inches, beginning breezy. Light, little or no sunshine with 80% chance of precipitation and average relative humidity of 80%. Driving conditions poor, chance of precipitation 70% with average relative humidity of 90%. Partly sunny tomorrow. And tomorrow's temperature will be 22 in the daytime and minus 10 at night.
In the obituaries, Patricia A. Pat Anderson, Clara Marine Hines Richardson, Andrian Rasmussen, Marilyn Becky Wymore, and James Douglas French. Patricia A. Pat Anderson. Patricia A. Pat Anderson, 89, died Monday, January 13, 2020, at Bishop Drum Care Center in Johnston, Iowa. She lived most of her life in Clear Lake and moved to Des Moines in the fall of 2016 to be close to her son Rick's family. According to Pat's wishes, a celebration of life service will be held in the spring. Should friends desirable, memorials can be left in Pat's name to Mercy One North Iowa Hospice. Pat was the daughter of Michael and Estelle Webner Kinsella, born on May 1, 1930 in Mason City. She received her education from Ventura High School, graduating with the class of 1948. On July 18, 1948, Pat was united in marriage to Robert Anderson, affectionately known as Bing, in Ventura. Together, the couple was blessed with 43 years of marriage and four sons before his death in August of 1991. In her last days, she spoke of her husband, who she loved and missed dearly. She recalled her morning wedding, the gladiolas that decorated the church, and a reception with so many people her father feared they would run out of food for their guests. For many years, Pat was employed by Franklin General Hospital, where she worked as a technician. Pat found pleasure in socializing, and in her free time, she enjoyed gathering with her friends from various clubs and groups in Clear Lake. She was a member of Zion Lutheran Church and the Order of the Eastern Star. Those grateful for sharing her life are her children. She was preceded in death by her parents, Ward Van Syke Colonial Chapel, 1001 North 4th Street, Clear Lake.
Clara Marie Hines Richardson in Forest City, Iowa. Clara Marie Hines Richardson, 87, passed away on January 10, 2020, at the Mercy One Hospice Implant Unit in Mason City, Iowa. She was preceded in death by her parents, Herbert and Wilhelmine Wagner Hines, infant sister, her infant granddaughter, and her loving husband, Delbert Richardson. She is survived by her five children. There will be no former visitation or services. A private family service will be held at a later date. Arrangements are at the Catino Scott Schott Funeral Home in Forest City.
Adrian G. Rasmussen, 93 of Garner, passed away Wednesday, January 15, 2020, at Concord Care Center in Garner. Funeral services will be held 10:30 a.m. Monday, January 20th, 2020 at the United Presbyterian Church in Garner with Reverend Justin Ashy officiating. Burial will be at Concord Township Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday at Kaleido Funeral Home, 160 East 4th Street, Garner, and will resume 1 hour prior to services at the church. Memorials may be directed to the United Presbyterian Church, Kaleido Funeral Home.
Marilyn Becky Widmore. Marilyn Becky Widmore, 91, of Mason City, passed away Wednesday, January 15th, at Country Meadow Place with her loving family at her side. A memorial service for Becky will be held 11 a.m. Monday, January 20th, Hogan Bremer Moore Colonial Chapel, with Reverend Paul Bostrom of First Christian Church officiating. Becky will be incised beside her husband, Jerry, in Elmwood St. Joseph Cemetery at a later date. The family will greet friends 1 hour prior to the funeral on Monday. Memorials may be directed to the First Christian Church or Mercy One Hospice of North Iowa.
James Douglas French, 80, of Forest City, passed away peacefully with his family by his side Wednesday, January 15, 2020, at Mercy One Hospice Inpatient Unit in Mason City. Celebration of life services will be held 2 o'clock p.m. Sunday, January 19, 2020, at First Baptist Church in Forest City with Pastor Eric Weaver officiating. A gathering of friends and family will be held 1 hour prior to the services at the church on Saturday. Or on Sunday. Burial of remains will be held at a later date. Arrangements are with Kaleido Scott Funeral Home.
On the North Iowa, jazz students are finding their groove. 10 area jazz bands perform during two-day festival. Those are some of the things the Clear Lake High School Jazz Band worked on with Sammy Miller and Alfredo Horn during the North Iowa Area Community College annual jazz festival Thursday in Mason City. I really love the selection of different tunes and the different styles that you guys play, Horn said. There's a different groove with each one. Clear Lake was the first of 10 jazz bands to perform in the two-day festival. The festival, in its 24th year, was founded by NIAC band director John Clemis, and it provides students with opportunity to perform and receive constructive criticism from educators and musicians outside their programs without the pressure of competition. We use a competition format, but it's purely educational. This year's adjutant creators are Miller and Horn, who are members of Sam Miller and the Congregation, a seven-piece jazz band from New York City performing at NIAC on Friday evening as part of the College Performing Arts and Leadership Series. The Clear Lake High School Jazz Band, comprising of 16 students, performed three songs under the direction of Holly Pryor, while Horn and Miller sat in the audience, taking written and recorded audio notes. Then the men joined the students on stage, where they provided feedback on their performances for more than 30 minutes. In addition to sharing their skills, attitude, and experience as professional musicians, Miller and Horn encouraged the students to use their energy and personality when performing to uplift others. I had to learn these lessons throughout my life. The music is supposed to be fun, Horn said. Music is what? Fun, the students responded. Music is what, he said? Fun, the students had said with more energy. Clear Lake Junior Nathan Lawler, who plays the baritone saxophone, said he enjoyed the festival, especially Miller and Horn's feedback. His biggest takeaway from the festival was how to play coherently. They showed us how to play deeper. It has helped for sure.
A look at Clear Lake School's $18 million bond. Following the March elections, the Clear Lake Community School District is looking to take out $18 million in general obligation bonds for several school projects. There's a lot more to it than the Wellness Center, Clear Lake School District Superintendent Doug G. said. The following are only estimates of the $18 million bond referendum, as none have gone out for bid yet. Wellness Center, $10 million to $11 million. The City of Clear Lake will be paying for $1 million of this number to pay for the upper walking and running track, fitness area, and indoor playground area, and other possible spaces depending how bids come in. New secure entrance at Clear Creek Elementary, $350,000 to $450,000. Additional parking and sidewalk areas, $500,000 to $1 million. High school weight room and wrestling room additions, $300,000 to $500,000. Gym Vestibule Corridor Edition, $1 million to $1.5 million. Lions Field Complex, $3 million to $4 million. This includes new press box, bleachers at the football field, a new turf field, resurfacing the track, new press box bleachers at the softball field, a new concession stand and restroom at the softball field, and new softball field lights. Improvements to all three buildings to be determined, $3 million to $4 million. Upgrades to E.B. Stillman Auditorium, seating, lights, and sound, $200,000 to $250,000. Greenhouse, $75,000 to $80,000. In addition to these estimates, there will be bond fees and architectural fees to develop, design, and manage these projects. The district did not have to buy any new land, as it is already has the land necessary for each of these projects. G said the school board has worked to align these projects with their school district strategic plan and priorities. We work to address all the students' needs with funds going to both academics and extracurricular activities, he said. Public informational meetings will be held in the Clear Lake Middle School Commons at 5:30 p.m. January 29th, 6:30 p.m. February 19th, and 6:30 p.m. February 24th.
A conversation with Mike Franken, United States Senate candidate, talks about rural Iowa. When retired three-star Navy Admiral Mike Franken was growing up on far western side of Sioux County, about 3 miles from the South Dakota border, in a self-described 54-person burge called Lebanon, he had dreams of becoming a doctor. The same local doctor birthed him and his 8 siblings and was such a stalwart member of Franklin's extended family that Franklin saw him as a kindred spirit, someone who thought locally but seemed still wanted to serve mankind. In the decades upon decades since Franklin grew up on the very low fringe of the middle class in a place without even a stop sign, he's held a lot of jobs. A nearly 40-year Navy vet, a farmhand, a welder in his dad's machine shop, a hog kill plant worker, a math tutor, and a bouncer. Basically, everything but a doctor. Yet that inclination towards servitude has clung to Franklin the whole way through. He says it's a big part of why he's running for the U.S. Senate in 2020. My father was a blacksmith, in essence, earning every penny he made in his machine shop. Franken recounted, but all of us kids had an opportunity, working full-time and part-time jobs after high school to pay for college and a better way forward. I'm not too sure entirely available to everyone today, and I would like to be part of that successful future for the state of Iowa. Franken said that since he jumped into the race in August and has toured around the state, he's been struck by the elegant people when they talk about what's affecting them and what they said as stuck with him. I'm also a little bit struck by the slow degradation of small-town Iowa, which was rather unfortunate. There are some hopeful signs in many of the towns and counties I've been in, Franklin relayed, but I'm also a bit struck by how there's a large divide in wealth as well. I am not so sure that all the rungs that one would want to climb in life are available to every Iowan. equally like it was when I was growing up in the 1960s and 1970s. Though it's already a crowded Democratic field to potentially unseat one-term Republican Senator Joni Ernst, Franken said there's enough in terms of temperament and experience to differentiate him from his fellow candidates. Franken sat down with the Globe Gazette to run through some of his differences.
Nyakog receives more than $200,000 for housing programs in Cerro Gordo and Floyd. On Tuesday, Iowa Finance Authority announced that it would be disbursing more than $6.4 million in grants to 27 housing trust funds that support local affordable housing initiatives. And North Iowa's own Nyakog Housing Trust Fund is one of the 27. The North Iowa Area Council of Governments will receive $207,431 for use in Cerro Gordo and Floyd County, according to the press release. Such grant funds can be used for home preservation, local rental subsidization, down payment assistance programs, low-interest loans for home rehabilitation, financing on new single-family housing for low-income Iowans, and supporting housing for persons with disabilities and homeless assistance programs. Iowa Finance Authority Executive Director Debbie Durham said in the announcement that local housing trust funds serve all 99 counties and are a critical vehicle to ensuring leaders can make local housing priorities a reality, and added, not only do local housing trust funds make a very real difference in the lives of thousands of Iowa families, but they also leverage millions of other contributions, showcasing the shared commitment of advancing affordable housing through our state. Since the State Housing Trust Fund was created in 2003, it's been responsible for $77.2 million in affordable housing assistance that the Finance Authority estimates has benefited more than 26,200 Iowa families. In this go-around, it's projected that 2,500 Iowa families will be helped by the funds.
Looking forward on Clear Lake CSD's bond referendum. The vote of Clear Lake Community School District's $18 million bond referendum is coming up in just a month and a half, and the school board is preparing for how it may turn out. According to Superintendent Doug Gee, the referendum received 303 signatures on the petitions for the $18 million bond referendum, and they only need 145. My only worry is that people don't get out and vote, he said. Residents will vote on the bond referendum during the March 3rd election. The bond referendum will cover a lot of projects, from building a greenhouse to securing the elementary school entrance. There's a lot more to this bond referendum than just the wellness center. The Health, Wellness, and Recreational Center will cost about $10 million, $1 million of which the City of Clear Lake will pay for. Other projects, including the greenhouse, the elementary entrance, and improvements to the Lions Field Complex, make up the remaining half of the bonds the district is looking to take out. The secure entrance at Clear Creek Elementary project is needed to make the building safer, according to Gee. Gee said the project was brought on as the district did a complete facility study of all the school buildings and grounds in preparation for the bond referendum. The safety of our students and staff is the most important thing for us, and we want to do everything we can to ensure their safety, he said. There will be three public informational meetings held for the bond referendum, all held at the Clear Lake Middle School Commons, 5:30 p.m. on January 29th, 6:30 p.m. on February 19th, and 6:30 p.m. on February 24th.
Holy battle, Saints to take on the Green Devils. I've been told by my editors that I talk about the weather a lot in my stories, but I have to do it at least one more time. Most of the area game schedules for Friday night have been either moved up to Thursday or postponed due to the weather storm that will deluge North Iowa with snow tonight and into tomorrow. Therefore, this week's Globe Gazette Game of the Week is a bit later than usual. On Tuesday, we will travel to Osage for the girls' basketball game between the Green Devils and their top of Iowa foe, St. Ansgar. As I write this on Thursday afternoon, both the Saints and the Green Devils come into the matchup with one loss, with Osage at 9-1 and St. Ansgar 11-1. Earlier this season, the two squads faced off in St. Ansgar. That game went into overtime and ultimately resulted in St. Ansgar handing Osage its only loss of the season. The two teams are locked in a battle for the top of Iowa East at lead, and this game will have big implications. The Saints are 9-0 in conference play, while the Green Devils are currently 8-1 against TOI foes. The gym should be packed for this one, and I fully expect it to go down to the wire again. Three players have paced the Green Devils in scoring this season with over 100 points. Cindy Brandow, Janie Johnson, and Eli Bobbint have 174, 134, and 106 points, respectively, with Brandow shooting an impressive 55.2% from the field and leading the team with 87 rebounds. Osage has absolutely dominated the competition this season. Aside from the one loss to St. Ansgar, the Green Devils have won every one of their games by at least 19 points. For the Saints, Hallie Anderson has the team lead with 205 points for an average of 17.5 points per game. The story of the season so far, though, has been the Saints' defense. The Saints are currently on a 10-game winning streak and over the past five games have won by an average of 28.2 points. Over those same five games, the Saints have allowed a maximum of 32 points. Tuesday will be a case of unstoppable force beating an immovable object. Strength against strength, all for the conference lead. I've been wrong before, and I'm sure I'll be wrong again, but I expect this game to be almost as close as the one on December 10th. It may not go into overtime, but Osage will pull out a narrow victory as Bradow manages to break through the Saints' defensive brick wall.
Shanahan, we know it will be different. 49ers expect better Packers team in NFC title game. Santa Clara, California. When Aaron Rodgers greeted Jimmy Capolo following the least productive start of his sterling career, he had a simple message for the San Francisco 49ers quarterback. We'll see you later on. Less than 2 months after the lopsided loss, the Green Bay Packers quarterback has proven prophetic. For the eighth time in the past 25 years, Green Bay and San Francisco are squaring off the postseason, this time with a berth in the Super Bowl on the line. We know it will be different, 49ers coach said. That game got away from them early. That's definitely not the team we'll see this week. The Packers, 14-3, looked nothing like the Super Bowl contender back on November 24th when they were completely overwhelmed by the 49ers from the start. Roger has stripped, sacked by Fred Warner on the opening drive, and Nick Boyce returned the fumble. The Niners added a couple of field goals and got a fourth down against Aaron Jones before breaking the game. Rodgers threw TD passes in the third quarter.
That brings to an end the reading of the Mason City Globe Gazette for Friday, January 17th, 2020. Your readers have been Anna Marie Wilson and Diana Black. This broadcast has come to you through a partnership between the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service and 97.9 FM KCMR Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of IRIS or KCMR. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for today's reading of the Des Moines Register. You are listening to IRIS, your 24-hour radio reading service. Have a great day.